Welcome to Meet the Writers. I'm Georgina Godwin. We're heading to Greece today, where my guest is a poet and a literary theorist, writing in both Greek and English. He's the editor and translator of the anthology Futures, Poetry of the Greek Crisis. His works appeared in print and online magazines and anthologies in Greece, the UK, the US, Australia, New Zealand, Sweden, Poland, Turkey and Croatia. He's presented his work in literary festivals all over the world and translated contemporary British and American poets into Greek and classical Greek into English. He currently lives in Athens, where he works as the project manager of the Onassis Foundation's Kavafi Archive. Theodoros Tsiotas, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for the invitation. Thrilled to be here.
I'm so glad that you could make it because, as I say, you live in Athens.
Yes.
And you just happened to be passing through London today. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is that I know that you're very well known in Greece for your work, as not only as a writer, but as an editor and a translator. You translate from classical Greek into English, from English back into Greek. Mm. I mean, you seem to be able to do almost everything. You've got this extraordinary new anthology out, Future. And really, that's where I want to start, because for the world, what we've been aware of course, that this hasn't been a good year for Greece, 2016, when we look back, but really, nor has the past half decade. If you're actually living in Greece, has it perhaps been longer than that?
Actually, that's quite an interesting question, because, you know, the crisis, quote unquote, in the news started in 2010. But it's been going on for longer than that. I mean, if you're in the ground, so to speak, in Athens, it's been going on since at least the end of the December 2008. Mm. I think that's the ground zero, so to speak, of, you know, the crisis. Mm. It's been going on for quite a while now. It's been very interesting to see how, well, interesting and also disheartening to see how the social fabric and the social structure of Greece has changed over the past 8 or 9 years. It's also really interesting to see how that feeds into the literature and artistic production in general. Mm. So it's been a very hard, arduous process, but also, on the other hand, you can see a lot of it, how it comes out in the artistic production.
Mm. Now, you and I were connected through the Onassis Foundation.
Yes.
So I was in Greece doing some work there. And what impressed me was that culturally, it still seemed very, very vibrant. And there was clearly money going into the arts. But is that only because of people like, legacies from people like Onassis?
Well, it's quite interesting that you're saying that, because Athens has become a hotspot for artists at the moment. Yes, you've got, you know, legacy foundations like the Onassis Foundation. I work for the Onassis Foundation. I'm the project manager of the Kavafi Archive. But it's very interesting to see how that you're having biennials going on in Athens. You've got the Documenta, the big art exhibition happening concurrently in Athens and in Basel. So there is a lot of money coming in from private institutions, from legacy institutions rather than the state, that is being poured into the arts. On the other hand, you also see that there's a lot of artists who have actually moved to Athens, and they think that this is the place to be at the moment if you want to do art that is resonant and that is relevant. So it's quite interesting to see that, how there's a lot of people coming in and they send me emails and so going, oh, I'm moving to Athens. I'm like, why?
Mm-hmm.
It is a very, you know, you've got these extreme austerity measures that are being implemented that are raising the ground. But on the other hand, art is a way to resist and to fight back. Mm. And people are actually employing that.
I've heard it criticized. I mean, these big legacy foundations.
Yeah.
From, for instance, one of the people that I spoke to a lot in Greece was Danai Stratou,
yes,
who is the partner of Yanis Varoufakis. Her point of view really was that although art as a whole was getting this big boost from private funding, she felt that there were very, very many artists who absolutely were not able to make a living, who, unless you were part of what she was calling the elite, would never even get a look in. Do you think that that's a fair criticism?
Well, I can definitely see her point. I can see where she's coming from. I mean, it's an interesting statement and interesting quote. I don't think any artist can make a living right now in Greece if they're just being an artist. I don't even know what being part of the, you know, the art elite in Greece means at the moment. I don't think there is an art elite in Greece at the moment. I think the people who are in the art elite are being funded by either by family money or they're being funded by foundations outside Greece.
So almost impossible to earn your own living, really, from it entirely?
Well, you can earn your own living, but you would be doing many projects all at the same time, which is very interesting also how they sort of fit into one another.
Well, it must be surely fueling creativity.
The austerity and the crisis, it is fueling creativity on one hand. You know, that's the one thing that we, you know, there's this narrative that it is fueling creativity, and that is certainly true. But on the other hand, it's also fueling a lot of discontentment and a lot of despair. And, you know, art is a way to live through this, but also it can get quite difficult to sort of put up things. On the other hand, though, you know, there's a boom in art events, poetry events. I mean, if I decide to go to every single thing that I'm being invited to, I would have no time to myself because, you know, every single night there's something going on. Every single day there's something going on.
And all very well attended, I'm told.
They're very well attended. They are put on with next to no budget, which is also very impressive. But, you know, you see all these new journals and magazines that are being published at the moment. I mean, I'm part of the editorial board of a literary journal. And it's quite interesting that we are putting out this magazine with very little budget. And it's very exciting. You know, we are publishing very exciting stuff, very forward-looking things.
And is that prose?
Well, the magazine we're doing is mainly poetry and Greek and non-Greek, along with essays and commentary pieces.
You're also the associate editor for Litmus magazine.
Yes. Well, just for the one issue, Litmus is a UK-based magazine that is run by Dorothy Lehane. And it's a really interesting magazine that also deals with how the failings of the body fit into poetry, how medicine fits into poetry. It's really worth looking out for Litmus. You know, and I have a thing about biology. I'm a literature person, but I have a thing about biology.
Biology and literature twined around each other. Let's talk about futures, because I think that this is so interesting. I mean, as we were talking about, times of crisis and austerity often spark great artistic movements. And it seems that Greece is really, really running with this, a powerful Greek literary movement that's really been stirred. And Futures, Poetry of the Greek Crisis, which you published, is really a new generation of writers who've been inspired by what's been happening.
Well, yes. I mean, what is very interesting with Futures is that I was talking with my publisher, Tom Tivers of Penned in the Margins. You know, we're having drinks, as you do. And he sort of said, what is going on right now with poetry? And, you know, that was a very good question for me, because when you're in the scene, you're part of the scene, you know, you're going with the flow. So when I started thinking about it as an observer, as an editor, then it was very interesting to starting to pick out the various threads and trends that were popping up. So it was very important for me to actually identify all these innovative things that are currently happening in Greek poetry, which are very interesting because, you know, you see all these very different poets writing all at the same time, doing very, very different things. And yet they create this beautiful landscape. I was also very interested to see how the poets who live in Greece also talk with the Greek poets of the diaspora or poets who are not Greek but live in Greece. So I was also trying to get as many viewpoints as possible in the book. So the book is, you know, I thought it would be quite interesting to actually not do a traditional anthology. You know, anthologies are like you get a poet and then you get his three poems, he's given three poems. What I've done is that I've actually created a narrative. So I've actually broken the book in different sections, and every section is named after a financial term, because I've decided that, you know, bank speak has completely taken over our lives, you know, in English as well, but also in Greek. You hear all these financial terms and we use them and we do not necessarily know what they mean. So I thought that would be very interesting, actually, to take that, to reclaim that. And because a lot of those terms have been cribbed from philosophy and poetry, some of them. And I thought it would be very interesting to see how you can do this. So I started placing all these different poets under all these very specific financial terms and try to reclaim the philosophy of from the financier, so to speak. It was very interesting. And so you can see all these very different people from very different backgrounds who, some of them, you know, they're second or third generation Greeks, so they do not really speak Greek. Yet, you know, some of them, they said, this is the first time I am actually writing something for my Greek side, which was amazing. And it was produced such beautiful work. So, yes, it was a great experience. It was a really great experience.
There's a couple of lines here that I'd just like to quote. The gouged marble, the graffiti scrawls, yes. The statues standing like something outraged, remind you, you who yearn to live beyond this, that hope marked you too. And that's from The City, isn't it?
Yes, from Adrian Kalfopoulou.
Yeah.
No, it's very interesting because Adrian is she's Greek-American and she lives in Athens. She's living between Athens and the US. And so Adrian has this very interesting viewpoint where she's in an in-between sort of phase. She's Greek, but yet she can see that from the outsider point of view as well. So it was very interesting to see how that comes in and how that viewpoint can be employed to give you a different viewpoint of the situation.
Do you have any work in it yourself? I know that you're a poet.
Just the one poem. I thought it would be indulgent to get in more than that. No, I have a poem in there that was actually inspired because I had to go into hospital and I got out of the hospital and I found myself in the middle of a riot. And I was tear gassed, so I had to go back into the hospital. It was a really interesting thing to sort of is to find all these very different times and very different modes, how they collide. And that's a thing that's going on at the moment a lot. Unlike London or Britain in general, town planning in Greece is very haphazard. It's completely chaotic. So you walk in one street and it's, you know, is it 2010? It was built in 2010. And then you walk like 200 meters, and that's antiquity right there. So we always get that constant collision between different times and different modes of seeing things and being. And I wanted that to be reflected in the book. And also, the book for me was also a chance to have voices from the inside being directed towards the outside. So that's why I thought it was very important for me to have this in English, which is, you know, so prevalent.
I also wonder, beyond the financial crisis, if the refugee crisis is having an impact on the literary scene.
Oh, yes. There are people who've already done work on it. And talking of which, there was just, I think it was a couple of months ago, we had a function where poets would read and we asked people who came in to bring in food and medical supplies, you know, as donations to create a food bank, so to speak. But we are still processing that. We are still trying to figure out what is going on and the impact that it will have on the Greek society as well. Because, you know, the infrastructure to welcome the refugees is there, sort of. But we are, you know, as a society, Greek society is also, you know, it's very welcoming. But, you know, certain parts of it are being stretched to its limits, which is very interesting.
I know that there had been a kind of artistic response driven a lot by the Onassis Centre, who put on various either performance pieces or film pieces, all just really in response to all of that.
Yes. I mean, that's another thing, because I think as time goes by, I think we'll be seeing more and more of that. And we'll be seeing more and more artistic responses to all, you know, to all these very different crises. That's a thing, because you've got all these different things happening all at the same time. So you've got very different parts of the art sector responding to it. So it's a matter of actually, you know, having your antennas extended and wide open so you can receive what is going on all at the same time. Yeah. But there's definitely really interesting work that is happening and very exciting stuff and very humane stuff that is going on right now. And we sort of need that. But it's also quite, I mean, I did this book where it's from Paper Daggers Press, which is a London-based publisher. And this was a walk around Athens, 25-hour walk around Athens, no sleep at all. So I did this with a photographer, and I ended up in one of the places with refugees almost by accident. It was an eye-opener because you think you know it. You hear about it. But until you actually interact and speak with these people, then that completely changes your perspective. I know it sounds very naive, but it was a really interesting experience. It was heartbreaking. Mm. And it sort of gives you a way of seeing and thinking about this.
So just to focus for a minute on your books. So this sounds extraordinary. What's that called?
It's called Day X. I did this with a photographer called Nicholas Venturakis. He's a London-based photographer, Athens-born. And it's basically us walking around Athens randomly, completely randomly, around 25-hour period. Mm-hmm. So it's a full day, no sleep at all. And just me jotting down.
In poetic form.
Yeah. And putting in, you know, creating a work that is based on the city rhythms and what the city tells you, and picking up things. Also, it's quite interesting to see what is being written on the walls. You know, we've got, you know, a proliferation of poetic production, but you've also got a proliferation of slogans on walls. And so the city walls are trying to speak. They are trying to articulate something. Mm. And that's also really interesting. So I try to incorporate those messages in my work as well, because it is important to actually have a discussion with the city itself, with the body of the city itself.
Yeah, yeah.
So that book is coming out in late February. And I've got another book coming out from Litmus that is coming out in the spring at some point, March or April, which is called, that's another thing, it's called Limitless, An Assembly of the Sick. There was a biennial, the Assembly's biennial in October, and I performed this piece about what it means to, we're talking about assemblies, and we're talking about what it means to be a gathering and having a working towards a common goal. And I thought, what about if you cannot follow the assembly? Mm-hmm. Will the assembly take you with them? Will you be part of the assembly? So that was a half-hour performance I did for them. Mm-hmm. So that's coming out in late March, early April. And then I've got a book in Greek coming out later in the summer, and the Greek edition of Futures in the autumn.
So you're doing all this, but I have to point out, you're also studying for a DPhil and you've got a full-time job.
I know.
Tell me about your job. You're at the Kavafi Archive.
Yeah, I'm the project manager at the Kavafi Archive. The Onassis Foundation bought the Kavafi Archive in late 2012, early 2013. Kavafi, Konstantin P. Kavafi, was an Alexandrian poet of Greek descent. I think he's probably the most well-known Greek poet. He's certainly the most widely translated Greek poet at the moment. He is, you know, he's a tremendous poet. He's an amazing, amazing poet. You probably know Ithaca. Everyone mm-hmm. knows Ithaca. But are Waiting for the Barbarians. Mm-hmm. So the archive is now open to all researchers, but we've also been doing loads of really exciting projects, both for researchers. We're doing a series of academic seminars, but we're also doing things like we're going to schools and we're doing programs for middle school students, which are, for example, Kavafi and sculpture, Kavafi and new media. So those are carried out, and we're targeting that at schools that might not have the chance to do programs like that. So those are also very interesting. But we're also doing things like performance lectures. We commission art from visual artists and performing artists, all sorts of stuff. It's been going on for the past 4 years, and we've produced so much exciting stuff. It's a very exciting job.
All this in the midst of a huge austerity
yes.
crisis. It is quite extraordinary. And your DPhil, you're at Oxford.
Yes. Yes. I hope my supervisor not listening to this. No, I'm doing a DPhil on autobiographical construction, on construction of the self, autobiographical discourse in Greek modernism, which I should have submitted this quite a while ago, but I have not.
A small matter of 4 books coming out.
Yeah, I know, I know, I know.
Finally, Theo, how would you sum up then the contemporary writing scene in Greece? Are people able to get beyond the crisis? Is there literature coming out that isn't about it at all, doesn't reflect.
That's interesting. I mean, that's even in my book. I mean, a lot of the poems are not directly about the crisis. And I think when you tend to write about something directly, especially in poetry, I find that it comes out a bit awkward. It's a bit, I don't know, messy. But there are things that are being written that are beyond the crisis. It's there. It's everywhere. It's in the background. I was reading Paul Celan, the German poet, last night, and he has this line. This was one of his, I think, an essay, or was the diary, I can't remember, where he says, poetry is anti-biographical. I totally agree with that. The thing is, the literary production right now in Greece, it is actually, I think, well, the great thing about it is if it is actually opening out into what might we be after this. What might we be after, you know, this huge change, societal change? Who might we be? And that is really, really exciting. And it's really exciting because both in terms of the formal structures and the form of the novels and the poems, but also socially and literary, in a literary fashion. So I think it is a very exciting time to be a writer and a poet. Extremely, extremely difficult, but also very, very exciting in terms of creativity. But and I sent you a list, and I was thinking, for example, of Christos Economou's "Something Happened, You'll See." It was translated brilliantly by Karen Emmerich into English, I think, last year. And it's another, it references the crisis in a very oblique fashion, but also it's a brilliant example of what, you know, literature can do and what it tells us about who we might be after this upheaval.
Well, I really look forward to reading about who you think you might be and where everyone's going. Yeah. Theo, thank you so much
for
coming on. That's Theo Chiotis. Look out for Futures, Poetry of the Greek Crisis and many other works, but possibly no final degree.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Meet the Writers, thanks to the producer, Claire Urban. You can download this show and previous episodes from our website or app, from SoundCloud, Mixcloud or iTunes. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.